are listening to the Reality Steve podcast with your host, Reality Steve. He's got all the latest info and behind-the-scenes juice on Becca's season of The Bachelorette and interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. Now, here's Reality Steve.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to podcast number 83. I'm your host, Reality Steve. Got such a fun one for you today. I cannot wait until you hear this one. I know a lot of Johnny Come Lately fans of this franchise probably don't remember the episodes that this week's podcast guest, Trish Snyder, was on in season 5, which was Jesse Palmer's season. But those who are longtime fans absolutely 1,000% remember the antics from her season. She was the original villain, quote-unquote, of this franchise. Before the previous 4 seasons in The Bachelor, never really had a villain quite like Trish. And we go over everything that happened on her season coming up in today's podcast. It'll be a lot of fun. I hope you enjoy it. But before we get to that, a couple things of note. Please respond and comment, rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts. It certainly helps the podcast. Good news for those that don't like this sort of thing. We have no ads for this particular podcast. So we're going straight through from the second we start talking to Trish till the very end. No ads on this podcast, so you will not be interrupted for anything. Also, don't forget, Nell Coulter's X on the Beach recap is up tomorrow. We're getting close to the end of the season. It's getting crazy. It's getting a little confusing, but Nell will straighten it all out for you, and Nell has some great witty banter and some great humor when it comes to taking this show not seriously, because you can't. It's a train wreck. And also, in case you missed it, in Tuesday's column, I mentioned that next year's fan appreciation party, the date and location has already been set. It's going to be June 7th, 2019, at the Rio Hotel Suites and Casino. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm doing it at the Rio this year. We've had the first 4 years at Mandalay. It's been a lot of fun, but I wanted to get a bigger room, and we did that. And we have one of the best rooms on the Strip for this particular party. I'm going to be staying at the Venetian all weekend, but going over Friday night for that party because this room is worth it. I will have a cap on how many people I can have. In the past, tried to cap it at about 75, 80 or so. Can definitely get over 100 at this party. In fact, way more than that. But I don't expect anybody to book anything now. If you do, great, you're in. If you do book a flight, you send me your itinerary and you are definitely on the list for next year, but we got plenty of time. However, just know it's going to be June 7th, 2019 at the Rio. I will have discount codes. I will have a select amount of rooms sectioned off for my party. If you want to stay at the Venetian, I will have those codes for you. Let me know in an email that you're interested in those rates. I don't know what they are yet, but just know the Venetian Hotel, if you've never stayed there, is all suites. So it is, you're not going to have a $99 room or even $109 room like I was able to get some people for Mandalay this past year and the last few years. So they are much bigger rooms. You can fit more people in them. The smallest room is 735 square feet, I believe. So, it'll be a little bit more expensive, but I'll be able to get a group rate, lock it in, and nothing will change. So if you're interested in that, let me know, and I'll save your email. But, yeah, just keep that open for next year. I probably won't be promoting it much for the rest of 2018, but when the new year rolls around and the new Bachelor season starts airing is when I'll start really hitting it and letting people know, like, hey, party June 7th. If you're flying in, your flight itinerary is your confirmation for the party. If you're driving in, I just need a hotel confirmation. And if you live in Vegas, you know, for the most part, I'll be able to get anybody that lives in Vegas into the party. So that's that. Let's get to our guest. This is a great one. Let's be honest. Nothing like talking to somebody who made quite a name for herself in this franchise. Her name is Trish Snyder. She now goes by Trish Snyder Cullins. She was on Jesse Palmer's season of The Bachelor, season 5. She was the villain, the original villain of this franchise, and boy, does she have some stories to share from that season. So I hope you enjoy it. Trish Snyder on the Reality Steve podcast. All right, let's welcome in our guest. You remember her from season 5 of The Bachelor with Jesse Palmer, who is now back on television outside of his football duties doing this ridiculous show called The Proposal that started this week on ABC. She was truly one of the first villains in the history of this show. It's Trish Snyder Collins. Trish, thank you for coming on.
Hello.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited to talk to you because there's a lot with your backstory that I'm sure that Johnny Come Lately fans of this show don't even remember, but
ugh, God,
it was good. You almost like set the bar for villains in this franchise because back in 2004 when this aired, like, this was a big deal, and now it would just be like, people just bat an eye at it, like, okay, that's typical. That's what we get every season, you know?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
So take us back to the beginning of everything. Like, I do want to make it clear, you don't watch the show anymore, which is totally fine. I love talking about people's time on the show, especially when it's from seasons back as far as yours, because it's such a different show right now. But take us back to the very beginning. Like, where were you in life when you got cast to be on the show, and how did it come about?
How did it come about? I was 27, maybe 26. And my
According to Wikipedia, you were 28, but that could
be wrong. I wasn't 28. Okay. No, it wasn't 28. Well, how old am I now? 43. My birthday's in July. So yeah, 26, 27.
Okay.
My husband, actually, him and I had, we were on a break. Like Ross and Rachel. And honestly, him and I had just come to a crossroads in what we wanted out of life. So it wasn't I'm getting back at you. It was just, this is going to be a relationship that just isn't going to work for what we both want. So I was out just being single and dating. And I just remember watching Andrew Firestone's season, actually. And I had been to the winery. And I thought, you know, I should be on this show. I know wines. I know that Firestone is wines and not the tires and blah, blah, blah. And really enjoyed his season. And I just kind of, I think, Googled and followed the link. And I was a model. And I knew that if you get in front of somebody, your chances have gone up considerably. So instead of sending in a videotape, iPhones weren't out. Yeah. So instead of going through that process, I actually drove to Orlando, which is about a 2.5-hour drive for me from where I live, and didn't tell anybody. I just went up, filled out my questionnaire, and waited in line. And I waited for like 3 or 4 hours, I think, and got in front of the casting guys and made it to the next round, and it just kept going from there. And this was right after Thanksgiving, and got all the way to the end, got flown out to LA, still didn't tell anybody. And they said, just go home, enjoy the holidays. We won't make final cuts until after New Year's. I'm like, okay. And they did say, we didn't know who The Bachelor was at this time. They weren't announcing it. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, oh, okay, whatever. And the only thing they said is it's a quick turnaround because of who The Bachelor is, which would explain the off season and the playing season.
Yeah.
So I remember, I think Christmas Eve, I was at dinner with my parents. My sister knew. And I told them, I said, because my mom said, oh, where were you last week? We got our time getting in touch with you. Oh, well, I kind of was in LA. My parents were like, what? What are you doing in LA? Well, I kind of interviewed to be on The Bachelor. And they were surprised, you know, they're kind of, you know, tickled about it. And then it went from there. I got the final call and packed my 3 suitcases and boarded a plane. Still didn't tell anybody. Wow. Except for my sister. And we started filming.
Yeah, because when I went to look on your seasons, because I had to remember the years, it aired it aired from April until May of 2004. So you must have filmed, what, January and February of 2004?
Yeah, actually, January 26th, I think we started filming, and that, I don't know why that date sticks out on my head, but it does. And I think I got home, probably the beginning of March. I had just gotten home, and actually we got the call about the cover of TV Guide, and I turned around and went back to shoot that.
Okay, so at what point in that application process did you find out it was Jesse? Or did you not know until you got out of the limos that first night?
No, I found out someone had leaked the story. Okay. And I remember I was in the car and someone called me, and I was on the way to my agency down in Miami. And I was like, who is this guy? I don't know who this guy is. I don't follow football. And I got to the agency and I said, do you guys mind if I use your computer real quick? And I Googled him and he came up, and I remember this, his picture was probably from the Giants. And I went, okay. Sounds good. He's right up my alley. I always liked athletes. My husband is an athlete, or was an athlete, and, works out. I like that sort of body type, that whole, everything that Jesse was.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, it's right up my alley. And I was like, I'll give it a shot.
And you did.
What happens.
And you did. So you get there the first night. And what do you remember most about the first night? Like, did you bond with anybody that first night? And what were your initial thoughts on Jesse?
Well, it's funny because they keep you, like, so basically they get you, I don't know how it is now, I'm only speaking from my season, but they get you out to LA and they stick you up in a hotel with the other 24 girls, okay? And you basically aren't allowed to go anywhere because they don't want any of the girls seeing each other before the initial, like, filming of the show.
Yep.
They want that surprise, that element.
Still do that to this day.
Okay. So I was in the last limo, and I can't remember who I was with. Maybe Karen, who was like top four, maybe she was there. And we were all, nervous and chatting. And I remember pulling up and he was standing there, and I looked at him and I was like, he's hot. And the girl sort of looked at me. I go, have y'all seen him? Seriously, he's hot. And I think that just started it. And they didn't even really know what to say.
And all you said was, he's hot. It's not like you said, I want to blank this guy. Like,
And they're like, okay.
The hell? Okay.
And it was cold. I remember it was so cold.
Well, what did they, like you said, you had found out or it was leaked. Once you got in the house and started talking to the girls, did they know it was leaked? Did they know it was him before that night? Or did they not know until they showed up that night?
Can't remember, to be honest with you.
That's all right.
I don't think it was much of a surprise.
Okay.
Yeah, to be honest.
So you thought he was hot. Do you remember any girls that you befriended that first night? Or were you kind of, after your comment made the rounds, did people just be like, oh, watch out for her?
I think we all were just, in this like weird situation. And so you kind of just talk and bond, and you really don't know what's going to happen. It's a long night. They tell you, you're going to see the sun come up.
Oh yeah.
And we did. Yeah. It's like a 12 or 14 hour night. It's long.
And it still is to this day. Now they do it even, they started even later. They've usually got more contestants than the 25 that you guys had. They've had upwards of 20. This season was 28. They've had 30. I mean, they don't. It's like the show hasn't changed in terms of its basic format, but social media has completely changed how this show works and goes from there. And maybe the reason, one of the more memorable things from Jesse's season, and when they do a blooper show and they talk about, some of the crazy things that have ever happened on the first night of this season, Jesse's is always in the top 10 because he forgot
the wrong name.
Yeah, he forgot the girl's name and said the wrong name, but then ended up keeping the one that he...
Yeah.
Do you remember, like, after that girl essentially got a pity rose, let's face it, because she was going home, and he gave her a pity rose. Did you remember talking to her and getting her reaction? Like, hey, how do you feel about the fact that he really forgot your name?
No, but I mean, I know it was a topic, you know, the next day, and, you know, you could kind of, I mean, I kind of, this is bad to say, but I mean, hell, why hold back now? I mean, you could kind of tell after I talked to everybody, you could kind of tell who he was going to keep and who he wasn't. Yeah. I mean, there was one girl, God, who was it? There was a Jessica and a Jess, so not the Jessica that ended up in the end. Jess, she was from like San Antonio, had been on a plane one time in her life to go to a funeral, and, you know, existed on Diet Cokes and lean cuisines. And I thought to myself, no, you will curl up on the sidewalk in New York hysterically crying.
Yeah.
Like, you are not built for this type of person who is world traveled, lives in New York, plays football. Like, no, you're out.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not even going to spend time talking to you because you're out. I already know.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I have the list just as we go.
Good. Okay.
And continue recording this podcast. I have the list of first and last names of every girl on your season, and literally only four of them even ring a bell. Like, I couldn't tell you one thing that any of these women did, but yeah, Jessica Holcomb, 25, Pearsall, Texas. She was an attorney. That's what it says. Okay.
Yes, that was her.
Okay.
Okay.
So one major thing, about this season, your season, that I don't believe any other season has done since, and actually fans have been asking for it, is planting a spy in the house, either a relative of the lead or a best friend, and have them do some type of surveillance on the other house guests and then report back to the lead every night. You guys had Jenny, who was a close friend of Jesse's. I believe she was revealed in the second episode to the public that she was a spy there to help Jesse out. I can't remember when you ladies found out she was a spy. Do you remember when?
Pretty close to the, not the end, but, and I remember just thinking, oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, because she was present at the I Never game, which is what we're going to talk about in a little bit. But yeah, did any of you, before it was announced, did any of you suspect it? Like, was she?
No.
No, not at all. Like, when she slipped off to talk to Jesse, you just assumed that, oh, that's her alone time with him, and... Meanwhile, she's going back there and reporting everything that you guys are doing.
Yeah,
saying,
I know, right?
Oh. So nobody suspected it at all, huh?
No.
Wow. Okay. Mm-mm. So how did you feel when you first found out about it? How did you feel about that little twist in the show? Did you like it?
that was going to be a problem.
Okay, so it was going to be you had an oh shit moment when you found out it was her. Like, maybe you remembered something you said around her that
you shouldn't have. And then because then you're like, oh crap, we've covered so much, and you know, it's like the game of telephone you used to play in kindergarten. You know, it gets lost in translation, or it gets reported not wrong. I mean, listen, I am an honest person. I don't sugarcoat things. I never have. And if you confront me with something I said, I'm going to tell you, yeah, I said that, or I didn't say it. You know, I'm definitely, what you see is what you get.
Yeah.
And, you know, I admire that in other people. So, you know, there was a lot of stuff that, you know, he had brought up, which I don't even know if it made the show or not. I mean, we had that Bollywood date, I remember we sat and talked for like 20 or 30 minutes, and maybe only 4 minutes of it at the most made the show.
Yeah.
You know, we covered a lot of ground. And so, yeah, you know, she actually, at one of the rap parties, she came and apologized to me.
For relaying to him stuff you said?
yeah, she said, I was wrong. And apologized. And I was like, yeah, I just really don't care about you anymore. You're kind of done in my world.
Yeah.
Funny how that works.
As I mentioned, I think one of the biggest things that happened was that she had to pass along to Jesse was you girls played a game of I never.
Yeah.
And for those that know what I never is, you basically say something you never did. And if you did do it, you have to drink. Well, Trish was drinking
I drank the entire game.
Yeah, you drank the entire game. And there were some things being revealed that, like I said, back in 2004, when we're still in the early, reality TV was maybe a year or 2 years old. And granted, this season was number five, but we hadn't really got into stuff like this before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when Trish is drinking about having sex with more than one person in a day, and have you had sex with a married man, these are things that are coming up and you're drinking. And I think everyone at home is like, what the? Oh, boy, this woman, this one's going to be memorable.
Well, it really sounds bad when you put it like that.
Well, I was just going back and looking at somebody that had recapped the show because I didn't remember all of that. I remember there was a drinking game, but I didn't remember the questions. Yeah. But then I saw
I remember the married man thing, but the sex with two people in one day. I'm pretty old now.
This was years ago. It could have happened.
The
question.
No, it actually, you know, the funny thing is that technically when I was dating my husband now.
Yeah.
He was technically still married. Oh. Everyone knew he was still married. He was separated, not living with his wife.
Okay.
Completely separate lives.
But he was still married.
But technically, he was married.
And that's what you were answering the question to of have you had sex with a married man? And technically, you didn't lie. You said yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't lie.
Okay. No, I mean.
You know, so probably should I have sat that one out or thought a little bit further on that? Yeah, probably. But, you know, hey, we're playing a drinking game. We're having a good time.
Yeah. No, I get
you
it.
Know.
I think one of the other biggest things that people remember about you, and you know where I'm going with this.
Oh, we could go many directions. Where are you going with this one?
No, this one was the infamous T-shirt you wore around the house.
Oh, my T-shirt. Oh, God, my T-shirt.
So for those that don't remember, on the show, and it's fascinating because, again, we're at different times right now. You wore a shirt around the house that said on it, "Gold digger, like a hooker, just smarter."
Yep.
And so many things to get into with that shirt, because one of the first things that comes to mind is I can't remember, again, a contestant before you or after you that was ever allowed to wear clothing that had any sort of saying on it. Like, I don't.
They made me cover. I was a Carolina Panthers fan. They made me cover my logo.
But they'd let you wear that.
Yeah. On my hat. Yeah.
So you obviously had to have known the shirt was going to draw attention to you. Was it strategic on your part, or
this is the funniest thing.
Okay.
When I tell you it was so unintentional, people, they're like, there's no way. I don't believe you. I'm like, let me just tell you what happened and how it started.
Sure.
I live in Florida. It's 95 degrees here year round. I knew it was going to be cold in California, because it was January, February.
Yeah.
So when I packed, I was like, I'm going to need a couple long sleeve t-shirts. And if you remember that was not a tank top, it was a long sleeve t-shirt. And so I threw it in the bag. And I had gotten it when I was in New York. I just thought it was hysterical, especially living in South Florida. I thought it was so funny.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in the bag. So when you get to the house, you never unpack. Because obviously every 3 days or 4 days, there's a ceremony and they say, don't really unpack. So we had gotten the date box with the spa and everything like that. And the tiara and the fun jewelry was in there. And so they said, hey, Chris Harrison's coming over. I think I was still in pajamas. Chris is coming over to announce something. I think that was when he announced Jenny, to be honest with you.
Okay.
The spy in the house. And they were like, you guys need to, you know, change clothes. You're in your pajamas. So we're like, all right. So I went upstairs And again, it was cold, and that shirt was literally sitting on the top of my bag. And I was like, oh, I'm just going to throw this on in a pair of jeans. And I thought it was funny, so I actually grabbed the tiara and threw it in my hair. Because that part, I thought, oh, my God, this is really cute and really funny. Ignoring the t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then I went downstairs, and it wound up being this, like, crazy, oh, my God, did you see the shirt she wore? I'm like, what if I wore a pair of pants that said juicy on the ass?
Yeah.
Like, would people be like, I can't believe she's walking around with juicy on her ass? Like, can you believe she wore that? Like, I just, to me, it was so, it really was innocent, and it wasn't done with any, like, oh, watch this. And, but it's so funny. And to this day, people still ask me about that t-shirt. And I still chuckle. I have it. I'm never getting rid of it.
Oh, you can't get rid of that thing. It should be framed in your house right now if it isn't. I guess I'm just looking at it through my year 2018 goggles, and no, it would never be approved now. So I was just wondering how it was even allowed. I guess they didn't care back then. Did any producer come up to you and say, like, this needs to be taken off or change shirts? No, nothing. Huh?
No, except for you need to cover your Carolina Panthers logo.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers logo wouldn't have caused a giant uproar. That's why.
They made it to the, I think they almost made it to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah,
I don't remember. It was so long ago, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, looking back on it, if you had to do that part all over again, would you have still worn it?
I don't really thought about it, to be honest with you. You know, I don't really go through life with any type of regrets. I definitely think that, you know, everything happens for a reason and things come full circle. I actually became friends with Todd Goldman, who has that whole line of, boys are stupid, throw rocks at them. He had that whole, the whole line of clothing and
I never heard
fun
of,
stationery and crap. Yeah. David and Goliath. It escapes me at this moment, but anyway, what I probably had not said so much on my season looking back, probably, but at the end of the day, things wouldn't have turned out how they turned out.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't really be me.
And you know, you obviously were still, I mean, I can't remember what episode that shirt was revealed, probably three, maybe two.
Three or maybe four.
And your season back in those days was only 8 episodes long. I mean, it was very, very, they ripped through 25 girls pretty quickly. You go from 25 to 18 on the first night and then 18 to 10 on the next episode. You're down to 10, 3 episodes in. So you ended up making it to hometowns. Back then they still had the 4 hometown dates. You made it to hometowns.
Yep.
You took Jesse to Atlanta.
I did. Yep.
Met your family. How did you think that all went over at the time?
I thought it was fine. I mean, God bless my mother. Their house was under construction. And all of a sudden, they've got a camera crew that's, like, calling her out of the blue. Like, we're going to be there tomorrow. And, you know, she's got, like, no cabinets, no kitchen, no anything. She's just like, and my mom is the ultimate host, you know. She took it all in stride. Like, oh, there's a camera crew coming to the house. And, you know, they were excited. And, you know, I never brought anybody home. I think they maybe met, like, one or 2 boyfriends ever.
Yeah.
Because I just knew I wasn't wasting my parents' time.
Yeah.
You know, I was just busy being single and dating and having fun. And it wasn't worth it to invest the time to bring somebody home to my parents. Like, I'm not going to marry this person. I'm actually pretty private. There's a lot of things I'm very private about. And that's one of them. Like, letting people into, like, my world.
Yeah. And that in particular, you basically were saving it for people that you actually thought you could see a future with in terms of bringing people home. On the show, you had no choice. I mean, once you had hometown day, you had to bring Jesse home whether you thought you were going
to. Whether I wanted to or not.
Yeah. So when Jesse left your house that day, did you think there was any way that you were going to be the next one eliminated? I read in an interview you did post show, I think it was on GMA after that interview, after the episode aired, where I guess he may have alluded to the fact, or he told you not to worry, everything was going to be okay before that roast ceremony.
Yeah, it was right before the roast ceremony. He actually had asked, we were just going to go in and have a roast ceremony. And like, because when you get down to the end, it's pretty quick. Like, they kind of already know who they're going to cut or whatever. And I think he was really on the fence, because I remember we sat in the limos forever. And they came down and they were like, he wants to have another, like, time, like another chat with everybody. Hmm. And we were like, really? So I think they were kind of scrambling at the last minute to, you know, it wasn't just a quick roast ceremony. So I know he was probably kind of, I guess, looking back, you know, struggling with that. But I was sitting there, and I had, because I was the first hometown, which I think on the show they switched it and had me as the last hometown.
Yeah, it definitely was shown.
So I hadn't seen him in like a week or two at that moment in time. And I, you know, I kind of was nervous. And I just remember he did. He kind of like put his hand on my knee and he was like, you know, just, there's nothing to be nervous about. Like, I said, okay. And I'm thinking, I'm wearing a really good outfit tonight, by the way. And then like he cut me, and I kind of was like, I'm sorry, what just happened?
Yeah. No, you, so you got eliminated at the hometown dates, which meaning, so that Jessica, Tara, and Mandy J were the final three girls that got the overnights. And I guess, I guess one other thing that made you the character that you were was, up until that point in the show's history, I don't think we had ever seen a contestant get eliminated and then make a return on the show.
And then show back.
And not only that, you made a return in such a grand fashion. You show up on Mandy J's overnight date. I think they were in...
Her date was boring anyway, let's just be honest.
Yeah, it was. I remember it. And it was almost like they specifically made it boring to, because they knew you were coming in and bringing you up. And her and Jesse are at dinner. And here comes Trish walking down the hallway in her, you know, 10 outfit, you know, and they're shooting you from the feet up, and then they slowly, you know, they slowly pan the camera up, and you come not only, you know, dressed to the nines, ready to go, you come bearing a hotel room key that you basically give to Jesse, you know.
They basically said, if we give you this, you have to give us that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was, you know, you got to love Hollywood. Yeah. That was part of the deal. Like, if we do this date and we fly you out there, this is part of the deal. And, you know, it's funny because I got cut, and I'm sure I can talk about this now because it's been 14 years later or whatever, 10 years later.
Yeah.
I got cut and got in the limo, and I was like, again, really? What just happened? And one of my favorite producers was in the limo, who didn't ever get in the limo at that point. He had worked his way up on the food chain.
Was it Michael Carroll, by the way?
No.
Okay. Because I had Michael on the podcast about a month ago, and I don't know if he even worked on your season. I thought he said he did.
I'd have to think about that.
Okay, no problem.
But we're riding around the limo, and that's when... He's interviewing me, and he's like, you got to cry. I'm like, I am not crying. He's like, you got to cry. I'm like, honey, I don't cry. Like, I'm not going to cry. Like, why? What's the point? So we got past that, and then it comes out, all the stuff that the girls were saying to Jesse, and I was floored. I was like, I'm sorry, what?
The producer was telling you this in the limo? Like, hey, the girl said this to Jesse. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Like, this is what's been going on. And I was like, what? And you have to understand that I don't operate that way. Jesse had asked me on separate occasions what I thought about this person and this person and this person. And if you actually go back and watch the season, there's not much you'll see me say. Mm-hmm. And I had said to him, I'm like, you know, ultimately, it's up to you. You know, like... who you decide you want, it's up to you. Like, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus, because I don't operate that way. And on top of the fact that every friend of mine in Florida is 6 feet tall and gorgeous, and we're all rooting for one another. So I'd been in this, you know, kind of bubble for years and just kind of forgot about how like nasty women are.
Yeah.
And so they tell me these things and I'm like, oh, you need to turn the limo around. And they were like, what? I'm like, oh no, you need to turn the limo around because I'm going back up there. And they were like, no. I'm like, no, this is bullshit. Like, you can't sit there and throw me under the bus and back me into a corner. I'm going to start coming out swinging if that's the case. I was pissed.
Yeah.
Pissed.
Because at the time, you don't see what these girls are saying in their ITMs or confessionals. You have no idea until it airs on TV. But they kind of gave you a heads up.
But they're all like, you know, we don't like her. But hey, Trish, how does this look? Should we wear this? Should we wear that? How's my makeup? You know, come have drinks with us. Typical women, basically. And so we got back to the house. And I remember Lisa Levinson came down. God love her. And she was like distraught. She was like, oh, I don't even know what to do. I was like, let me go back up there. She's like, we don't have a camera crew. And that's how the Washington date idea was born.
Yeah, because Mandy J's overnight date happened to be in D.C., right? That's where it was?
Yeah, so they were leaving the next day to go up to Toronto for Quebec for Tara's date.
For Tara's. And then
from there, they were going to Washington. And then from Washington, they were going to, I think, the Bahamas. It was a beach. So I want to say Bahamas. And they had to, in order to, like, get everything in line, they needed a couple day turnaround.
Okay, so you are in LA after getting eliminated, and it's brought up to you like, hey, well, you wanted to go back then that night, and they're like, no, we can't do that, but we can do this.
We might be able to work something. We have to go to ABC and let them see if they'll let us do it.
And you got to remember, this is very scandalous back in 2004 reality TV. Now people wouldn't bat an eye at this. This would be like, oh, okay, someone's coming back to, you know, warn them about somebody else or tell them. But you came back with a hotel room key basically saying, hey, you want a second chance? Here you go. Here's my key. I'll either see you in my room later on. You leave Manny J or I won't. And that'll be that. And so you did say it was something that was part of the deal. Like, hey, if we're going to send you back and interrupt this date, you need to present him with, like, the option to take you back, right?
Yeah.
Did you think it was going to work? Or was it just like, I'm just going to go along with this or whatever? I'm just...
You know, I think in anyone in that situation, you have, like, a glimmer of hope to be like, you know what? You never know. But he was not going to have the balls to do it.
Hmm. Interesting.
He just wasn't. He had an end goal in mind, and he wasn't going to mess it up.
Okay, so when that doesn't happen for you, now you're off the show for good. The show starts airing. What was... like? It looks like you had been given a heads up about it in that limo ride after the elimination, but when it starts airing and... everybody knows that Trish Schneider is the villain of season 5 of The Bachelor. What was going through your mind and how did you take that all in?
It didn't start to get... I remember I was in Atlanta. The first episode that aired, I was in Atlanta. I was with my parents and our neighbors and we did like a viewing party.
Yeah.
And I think I went out with a friend of mine the next night to Buckhead. And it was like madness. And here I am, like kind of, I guess, naive in the whole thing, just like, oh, it's a show, and not really understanding like the scope and the fan, whatever. But I think the fact that they were like, oh, a girl from Atlanta's on the show got people to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was in Atlanta. And I mean, I had a friend of mine, he was like, I just got approached by some dude in the bathroom. like, do you know who you're with? And I just remember thinking, like, wow, that's so bizarre. Like,
And that was just after the first episode?
That was the first episode. And then I kind of was like, oh. And then it's after, like, at the third episode, I think it started going downhill.
So, like, what happened to you socially after? Were people, like, mean to you in person? Or were people kind of putting on a front, but you could tell there was a lot being said?
You know, you do get the rundown. Every week you get the run. They call you and give you the rundown of what's going to be on the show. So you kind of know what's coming. For the most part, I had a couple people, like random people out in public that said, you know, some nasty things to me. But for the most part, I have to say, like, people were like, oh my God, I love you. Or you're the best person on the show. Or you're so real. And it was, you know, good. But there were days that I did not leave the house because it was just, it was too much. I couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
It was so overwhelming that I just stayed home.
And again, that was 2004 when there was no social media, no Twitter, no Facebook, no Instagram.
No iPhones.
No iPhone. It would have been 100 times worse now. Now, what about your, at the time, like you said, you were modeling. Once that all airs and you get this kind of vixen label, what did it do for you career-wise in that industry? Did it help? Did it hurt because people were talking about you or what?
I didn't work for a year. My clients were just like, we love her, but we can't, it's too much of a distraction. Like, we can't book her right now.
Wow.
I was like, oh, great. It was a fun year, though. I did a lot of traveling.
Now, one thing that did come from all that, this is a little surprise I have for you.
Oh, no.
Is you did a movie called The Scorned.
Yeah.
That I believe aired on, I think it aired on E!
Yeah,
okay.
It was on E.
So it aired on E, and we as viewers, I think we got to watch like the making of it, and then it finally aired, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
and it was you and some MTV Challenge people and Survivor people. I know you're not going to believe me when I tell you this. I have a copy, a DVD copy.
I'm sure you do.
Of The Scorned. I'm going to send it to you.
I'm sure you do. I already have one. Yeah, thanks.
No, I'm going to send you a screenshot of it just so you know. Check your phone right now. No, I'm not going to send the video to you.
Thank you, but you can keep that for yourself.
No, check your phone. Look at the picture I just took and sent to you.
Oh, Lord. Hold on.
There it is.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. All of our favorite people.
Yeah. So, I mean, for those that don't even remember this, this was like you said, it was a movie made for E, but it was with all reality people back who were it people in 2004. The only two people from the Bachelor franchise were you and Bob Guinea, who played your husband in the movie.
Yeah.
And then there were Survivor people, Jenna Lewis.
Apprentice.
Yeah, Apprentice. Johnny Fairplay was there.
Real World.
Real World. Ethan and Jenna from Survivor were there. But Trishelle, Canatella, and Johnny. Trishelle, Tanya Cooley from MTV. Like, it was just, I remember this was like, oh my God, like the reality people are making a movie. I'm totally going to watch this. And then I watched it and I'm like, all right. So tell everybody how that all came about. Was that during the year that you didn't do, like, did you get paid for this? Or was this just, hey, this is part of, okay.
Yeah. You know, to me, it was either a month or a two-month stint out in LA. You know, they waved a nice wad of dollars and I said, I'm in. You know, and I wasn't doing anything else at the time. And I didn't, and it's funny enough, you know, again, I didn't really know who any of these people were. I mean, I know who like a couple of them were.
Yeah.
But again, I didn't really watch much reality TV, but you know, you hear of people or you see clips or whatever. And, you know, I went out there and again, modeling and being around production and being in commercials and stuff, it was just second nature for me to, you know, be on set or do lines or whatever. So to me, it was a job.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I'm in.
And you were basically the character that the movie kind of centered around. For those that don't remember, you played Bob Guinea's husband. You catch Bob cheating on you with, who was it? It was Trishelle. Trishel's cheating on, and then you end up dead in a pool with your throat slashed or something. And then they pan ahead to, what does it say on the back here? 17 months later, a bunch of reality TV people, or the people who were in the movie, rent out that same house for a beach weekend or something like that, and you basically haunt them.
Yeah. It's a good recap. Thank you for reminding me.
I was kind of reading it off the back of the DVD. Yeah. But I kind of remembered. I knew that you were the one that got killed and then were haunting people, but I forgot the actual... Forgot who was your husband until I read it and whatever.
Yeah, Bob.
Are we going to get the Scorned 2 by any chance? Can we revisit that 15 years later?
No, not with me, but...
No?
With a whole another cast and crew of people.
Yeah. are you... Okay, so when that happens... after the Scorned happens, what did you end up doing? When you finally went back to work, which would have been, I guess, 05-ish or maybe 06...
Yeah.
What did you get back into?
I went back to modeling.
Okay.
Yeah. It had kind of been enough time. The dust settled and things went back down. I would be out like with my stepkids and people would recognize me and they just loved it. They thought that was the best thing ever. They still talk about it. Do you remember the time we were at the airport? Do you remember that time we were? I'm like, yes, I remember that time. We were at the pizza counter at Harrods in London.
What?
People, oh yeah, nuts. My husband was like, are you serious? I said, I have no idea even what to say. Yeah, women came over to me. Yeah.
Does it still, I mean, to this day, you're still getting noticed for this? Or is this more?
Always The Bachelor.
Yeah.
Always The Bachelor. Really not as much. People will go... You look really familiar.
What do I know?
And I usually go, I'm in the nail salon every week, or I work out at this gym every week, And then sometimes I'll be like, I can keep you guessing, or I could actually tell you. Depends what kind of mood I'm in.
Yeah.
And then they want to, they want to talk, and they're always nice, and they always want to know,
So you're living in Florida now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so fill everyone in on, I know you said you've been married to your husband for a while now. Tell everybody, this is the guy that you were on a break with when you when you applied for The Bachelor, and now you are married to him and have been married to him for how many years again?
10. And we just celebrated 10.
And how did you guys initially meet, like before Bachelor World started?
We met at a restaurant.
Oh, okay.
We met in a I was a hostess, and he used to come in with, his friends and start the night with some cocktails and then, move on to the next restaurant or bar or whatever. It was a very small area of a couple of restaurants and bars. So you'd kind of start at one and hop around. And he actually, when I met him, he looked like actually another NFL player that I dated for a little while. And that's initially how the conversation started. And he looked like, and he said, I'm a little older than him, but I've been told that before. So that was the initial how we met or whatever. And then the running joke is whenever I hear somebody say, I don't know, I've been with my boyfriend for whatever and I just can't get him to marry me, I'm always like, you should go on a reality show, it works really well.
So you're not gonna tell us who this former NFLer was that you used to date?
Okay. It's not important.
All right. So you've been married. Like, so how long after the show ended did you get back with your now husband? When did you guys reconnect for good?
Yeah, it's funny. When you go on the show, you have to turn over all your electronics and your phones and all your stuff.
Yeah.
So I had left a voicemail on my phone saying, if anyone needs to contact me, I'm out of touch for a few weeks, please call my sister, because she was actually handling everything and my work schedule and everything. So he had heard through the grapevine, because I had to tell my restaurant employer why I was going to leave for 7 weeks and not to say anything. Well, of course, it's a small town, small area. So my husband had heard a rumor that I was on the show, called my voicemail, got this weird message, and then called my sister. And he said, listen, he said, I need to speak to your sister. Can you get her a message? I'm moving out of the country and I would like to have dinner with her before I leave. Mm. So she had relayed that message to me, and I was coming back like that week. It was very close to when I was coming back and getting all my electronics back and things like that. So we talked, we went and had dinner, and we wound up getting back together at that dinner. And I remember he asked me, he said, well, did you win? And I said, I'm under contract. I cannot say a word. Like, I can't. And he said, okay. He said, do you love this person? And I kind of said, no, because I'm still in love with you. And he was like, okay.
Which is all you really needed to say for him to know that you didn't win.
Yeah. So we snuck around for the last like week he was in town. Cause again, I couldn't be seen with anybody.
Yeah.
I couldn't be really seen out, you know, alone with anybody for contract reasons. So he'd go in one door, I'd go in the other, and things like that. And so, yeah.
So it was,
we got back together.
It was like right after you got off the show, you got back together with your then, well, your now husband. So when he moved to the other country, what did you do? You guys just did the long distance thing? How did it work?
Okay. It was fine. You know, I'm fine on my own. Very independent.
Yeah.
I've always been that way. So for him to move, and he moved to Korea, if that tells you anything.
Wow.
He didn't just like move to a little country. He moved really far away.
Yeah.
And, but he traveled. And so whenever he traveled, I would go with him. So I remember being in London when the episode of me crashing the date aired. And I've never seen that episode.
Oh, you've never even seen it. Okay.
No.
Mm-mm. So when he was, how long was he stationed in Korea? When you say he's moving out of the country, how long was he officially out and then came back?
About 2 years. And he actually was not in the military. He was not stationed. In the military. Yeah, not stationed.
I meant stationed as in just living.
Wrong. Yeah. Word. Yeah. So he went from Korea to Tokyo. And then from Tokyo, he came home. And we got engaged in Paris. And then I think in October, and he moved home pretty shortly after that.
So you got engaged in what, 06?
Yeah, 06, because we got married in 08.
Got married in 08. Okay. And now you guys are just both in Florida, right?
Mm-hmm.
What part of Florida are you in?
Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, you're in Fort Lauderdale? Okay.
Yeah.
Plenty of contestants. You don't watch the show recently anymore, but gosh, I want to say in the last two or three seasons, tons of Fort Lauderdale contestants.
Like, apparently we're a hotbed for reality TV.
I know. My gosh. What are you doing? What are you doing now outside of living in Fort Lauderdale?
You know, I still model a little bit. I kind of had scaled back just because of, you know, I was in it for 20 years. I had a really good run. I had a great life. Enjoyed it. I mean, I was lucky enough to be able to make a living modeling. And it just got to the point where, you know, my kids, my stepkids were older. And I would just travel with my husband. I mean, we've been all over the world. We've done amazing things. I mean, I'm so lucky to be with somebody who works internationally, really opens your eyes to how big the world is, and cultures and food and wine and all this great stuff. You know, when you hear people say you really should travel, you really should. It's I've been so lucky to be able to do that.
Great.
You know, just kind of enjoying just being a wife and traveling. I just got back from New York. I still go up and work, enough.
What was the last international trip you guys took?
Oh, God, where did we go? We were in Hawaii. That's not really international, but I'm trying to think long haul where we were. We haven't been back to London in a while. It was in Glen Eagles. We did, oh God, we've really, I mean, Dubai,
wow.
Cyprus, Paris. I spent the summer in Luxembourg with him out in Europe. We did a bunch of traveling. We usually try to go to Greece. The last two summers, we haven't been to Greece though. We go over to Mykonos. I mean, it's,
what do you got coming up this summer? Do you have,
we are actually going to take 3 weeks and go through Europe.
Gotcha.
For our 10 year, I guess, anniversary, if you want to call it that. So we're going to do, I think we're starting in Frankfurt. We're going to do Prague, Vienna, Spain, Ireland, and we're going to end in Portugal. We have an event we have to go to.
Wow. Look at you. Like, that's, you're living the life. My gosh.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I mean, it really is. I'm looking forward to Prague's is one of his favorite cities. I've never been. So, you know, we kind of planned it, and I haven't spent much time in Spain. So we kind of, you know, originally he said, well, why don't we end the trip in Paris? You know, we got engaged there. It's a good, and I kind of said, this sounds awful, but there's so many other places I haven't been. And we've been to Paris so many times.
Mm.
And he's like, no problem. He's like, all right, let's go someplace else.
Oh, wow.
Sound like, so, you know, I sound like, you know, such a bitch saying that, but when you're offered the opportunity, it's, you know.
Well, I mean, look, like you said, you've got engaged in Paris. You've been back numerous times. It's like, okay, we've been here. We've done this.
Yeah.
Can we go somewhere else? But when you look back on everything, like, I know you said, you don't, earlier you said, like, look, I don't live with any regrets. I am who I am. Outside of, you know, maybe taking back a couple of things that you said when you were on the show, when you look back at the overall experience and just this label of, like I said, literally the first quote unquote villain in this show's history.
Yeah, but I think I lost some ranking. I think I'm at like 7 overall now.
Yeah, it's not nearly as bad now. But you were the first. Like, you set the bar high, and now people are just beating it.
I mean,
they're just coming in. Like, I mean, nobody's wearing T-shirts or anything like that with sayings on it. But, you know, people coming back or people having a boyfriend back home and going on the show, and then their boyfriend confronting them on the show. Like, that happens, seems like, every season now. But yeah, you're not missing much by not watching. It's still the same formula. They still film it the same way. It's still a fairly quick turnaround. However, its social relevance has gotten so much bigger now than what it was. And it's part of pop culture lexicon. I mean, just face it.
Yeah.
When you were on Jesse Palmer's season, it was season 5. Did you honestly think back then that Ari's season, which just aired in January of March of this year, would be season 22 of The Bachelor?
No. I mean, people go, is that show still on? And I'm like, apparently it is, because they make a ton of money.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's crazy to think, like, because back in the day, before they incorporated The Bachelorette, and then when they took a few years off of doing The Bachelorette, it was 2 Bachelors per season. That's why there's been 22 Bachelors, and right now The Bachelorette that's airing is the 14th Bachelorette. That's because there were a couple years there where they did 2 Bachelors per calendar year. And but yeah, I mean, we're on 22 seasons of The Bachelor. It'll start back up again. You know, season 23 starts filming. They film now. They do it differently from when you were on. They film now The Bachelor seasons from September to right before Thanksgiving, and then it airs the first week in January. So there's a 6-week turnaround time. The Bachelorette is a lot quicker. They film Bachelorette March to May, and then Bachelorette starts airing in May. So there's usually like a 2-week turnaround time for that one.
Wow. Maybe
3. So, yeah, that's their schedule. But they've done it for, God, 7 years now, and they're not changing it anytime soon. So,
you know, they you know, I say to people, and, you know, people want to ask about the show, and I'm like, they have a formula. They have a formula, and it works. They know exactly who it's coming down to. They do so many interviews, so much like psychological testing. I mean, I remember after I got cut, they make you meet with a psychologist or psychiatrist or whoever they make you meet with. And after about 4 minutes, she's like, you're totally fine. I'm like, oh, yes, I'm fine. I'm like, okay, off you go. You know, but they know exactly what they're doing. They've figured it out. And, you know, people love it. you keep tuning in.
Of course. No, it's, you know, it's so huge now. The tabloids love it. It's on the cover of Us Weekly and People every season. I mean, that's why the show is staying relevant. It's staying at the top of everybody's minds. One last thing that I wanted to get to before we close it up here. After everything that happened, obviously you didn't, you were back with your ex soon. Yeah. I'm sure you didn't have any. Did you ever have any conversations with Jesse? Like post airing? Like, did you ever reach out to him? Like, hey, sorry, everything went down.
No. It's, when I said we like turned around and did the cover of TV Guide.
Yeah.
He was there. So they had him, we shot in this house up in the hills. So he was like in one room. And then it was me and Susie. And Susie was one of the top six who got cut. I don't really care for her either. She, it was her and I. And then they shot the three of us in like different scenarios. And one of them was, we were in the back of this like convertible Mercedes. And they're like, you guys need to get closer. You need to get closer because we got to get you in the shot. And I'm leaning over and they're like, just get closer to Jesse. And I'm sitting there, like almost sitting on his lap. And I'm thinking, this is so awkward. Like,
because it was post show. You had already been eliminated.
Yeah. And we didn't know who won, you know, and I'm just thinking to myself, you cut me and now I'm sitting on your lap. Wow. This is fun. Like it. And that was what made the cover. Like that shot was what made the cover of TV Guide.
That is weird because they don't even do that anymore.
I know. And that's, it was such a big deal for them to be, to get the cover. So.
Well, that just sparked something else now that I want to ask you. Once you were eliminated and it was down to Mandy J, Tara, and Jessica, who did you think he was going to pick?
I was hoping he would pick Jessica.
Okay.
So, I knew, I mean, listen, and I don't know if they cut this from the show or not. I cannot remember. But him and I were standing, when I crashed the date, we were standing off to the side in the dining room. It was like a coffee area for the waiters. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is exactly what's going to happen. And I said, this is what's going to happen with Mandy. This is what's going to happen with Tara. And this is what's going to happen with Jess. And I was right on the money.
So you knew you knew Mandy was going home next and that he would eliminate Tara at the end and Jessica would be who.
And like Jessica's 22 and lives in Long Beach and is going to law school. You really think that's going to work out?
What did he say? Or, or you said that in general. Or
just... I don't know. And I was like, and Mandy J, I'm like, let's face it, she's boring. He was like, you know, I mean, it's just.
Well, remember, I mean, back in those days, Jesse had one of the weirdest, most bizarre endings ever because he gave Jessica a one-way plane ticket. Like, that's what he gave her at the end of the season, which wouldn't even fly nowadays. And I don't know if you know this, but 19 of the last 20 seasons of this show, Bachelor and Bachelorette, have ended in an engagement. Like, they basically expect it now, whether you want to or not. You're told to do it. They would never be able to get away with at the end of 11 weeks of the viewers investing their time into the show, have the guy say to the woman, hey, you want to keep dating? Here's a plane ticket. Come see me. Like, sorry. Yeah. Doesn't fly nowadays.
Like, I loved how Jerry's season was, O'Connell.
Oh, where he dated them both post-show. I had Sarah on the podcast, and she explained all that. That was quite interesting. But another thing.
I was like, that's a great way to do it.
It makes sense and it's logical, but now with social media, they'd never be able to keep it secret. Like, people would see them out and there'd be no way to end the show down to the two girls. And then he sees them both post show. It would get back to me probably pretty soon. And
I was pulling for them, by the way,
Jerry and Sarah.
They were together for a while.
Charlie and Sarah. Yeah.
Charlie. I met him. Great guy.
2 years. And then they had a one-year break, and then back together for another two, and it just didn't work out. And now she's married with boys, and Charlie just got engaged to his girl. Like, he's getting married soon. So he finally found his woman, I guess. But, so that's where we are right now. And do you keep in touch with any of the girls? Like, when was the last time you heard from any of them? Years?
Never, thank God.
Are they really that bad? Really?
Yeah. I don't have anything in common.
Okay.
You know, and that's the other thing that, you know, they put these girls on this show that, you know, one have never traveled or live in Oklahoma or, you know, and, you know, here you are living, you know, I've been in South Florida for, I mean, now close, I mean, 20 some odd years. And anyone who has come here and visited, it's a different breed. It is a different everything down in this part of the world. And, you know, when you're living and working out of Miami and you're exposed to all these different cultures and languages and, you know, all this different stuff, and you have nothing in common with someone from, you know, Oklahoma that lives in a one stoplight town.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying all the girls were like that. I mean, I did really like Jessica. I talked to her after the final rose when we were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And we chatted. And I was, you know, I was like, congrats. Like, I'm glad he picked you, you know, out of the, you know, the choices or whatever. There's, you know, no hard feelings. I actually really like Jessica.
Yeah. And I,
she's probably the only person I've spoken to. And then I keep in touch with a few of the producers.
She, in doing research for this interview, I just Googled her name to see what she's up to. Mm-hmm. And yeah, now she still lives in Orange County and Southern California. She's married now with a boy and a girl. Like, she's,
yeah,
looks like she's doing well for herself. But yeah, it's just such a bizarre time. I love talking to you're an OG contestant. Like, you are part of the OG cast, the original, like, before about I think season 15 on, the last 7 or 8 Bachelor mm-hmm. seasons is where it's kind of turned around. But when you go back to season
3. I did watch. You know, I watched...
Up until when? I think you said Jason. Ooh. You told me
Jason and Molly. It was probably the last season I watched.
Okay.
And I really liked them. So I'm glad they're still together. And, you know, everyone was all up in arms. And they're like, oh, my God. And he dumped her. And he went with her. And how could he do that? And I'm like, you guys haven't been in the situation. You have no idea how hard it is when you are sequestered and you have nothing to focus on other than, you know, these dates and these people. I'm like, I don't blame him one bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I don't think it was bad. I think what he did was, you know, pretty honest and said, you know, I made the wrong choice. And look where they are now. Like, things happen for a reason.
Yeah,
you know?
It worked for them. I think the biggest thing people had with Jason and Molly was, or Jason's, what he did was the fact that he did it on TV, and Jason be the first to admit that he shouldn't have ever agreed to do the closed set after the final rose. Like, that was his mistake.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing wrong with having feelings for someone else and being like, I'm with the wrong person. It's just that it was filmed. It was done on a closed set and it embarrassed.
Of course it's going to be filmed. Why would you not film something like that? That's TV gold.
Well, it was TV gold for us, but Jason felt, I didn't necessarily need to do that to Melissa.
Of course.
So that's the thing that sucks. And it just happened. I don't know if you even know this. It just happened for the first time since Jason's season. It just happened on the most recent season of The Bachelor.
I think I read a blurb about that.
Yeah. What happened in the finale in March. He basically chose the woman back in November when they filmed the finale. And from November until January, guy had second thoughts, told the girl, filmed it. And on one of their, like, say, you know, when the couple that is the end couple on the show has to have their private mm-hmm. private meetups, he did it on one of those and said, I'm still thinking about her and I want a chance with her and I'm ending it with us. And but that girl ended up being the Bachelorette, and now she's the Bachelorette because she had a best storyline, since everyone wants to see mm-hmm. her get her happy ending now. And she most certainly is going to. So kind of all runs full circle. But mm-hmm. Trish, thank you so much for coming on. I'm so glad you did this. I loved talking old school Bachelor with you. I love talking The Scorned. I was so excited to bring that into my life. I'm going to have to pop this DVD in and watch it again. I haven't watched it in a few years. But
God.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. And I know the fans are going to love it. So thanks again. Good luck with everything going forward.
Thank you.
We'll be in touch.
All right, hon. Sounds good.
Bye.
Bye.
Oh, you know me. I love taking a trip down memory lane with some of these contestants. And what better person to take it with than the OG villain of this franchise, Trish Schneider. Trish Schneider, was it Cullens? Yes, Trish Schneider Cullens now has been for the last 10 years, as she just recently celebrated her 10-year anniversary. But so good to hear from her talk about the whole Jesse Palmer incident. And I know a lot of you that are listening to this podcast today probably weren't fans of the show back in season 5. But you have to understand the magnitude and how big of a name Trish Schneider was back in 2004 when this season was airing. The stuff that she was doing, wearing the shirt that said Gold Digger, what is it, Hooker but only smarter, like a hooker but only smarter. Like a hooker, just smarter. Her coming back on the show and interrupting somebody's overnight date, and not only doing that, but giving Jesse Palmer her hotel room key and saying, hey, you either want her or me. Here's my key. And just, I know it's hard to believe now, but back in 2004, that was a huge deal. So thanks to Trish for that. Glad to hear that she's seems to be living the life down in Florida. Good for her. And anytime The Bachelor does a top 10, you know, recap list or villains in the show history or crazy moments, you'll always see her come up. And maybe now you know why. So thanks to her for that. Thank you all for tuning in to episode 83. I appreciate it. Please rate, subscribe, and review in Apple Podcasts. That helps the podcast, no doubt. Nell Coulter's X on the Beach recap will be up tomorrow as we are getting down towards the final episodes of X on the Beach. We're really getting good because I'm so confused now to even who was original cast and who was brought in as an X. Like it's almost gotten to the point where it's too confusing. But Nell has a great recap. Very funny. Very witty. I love the recaps that she does. She'll be starting Floribama Shore Season 2 on July. I believe that show starts July 9th, so her first recap will be up on the 10th for that one. You don't want to miss that as well. So thank you all again to tuning in, who have tuned in for all 83. Maybe you've tuned in for one. Maybe you've tuned in for 40. Whatever the case may be, by listening, you're supporting the podcast, and I appreciate that. So for Trish Schneider Cullens, I'm Reality Steve. Thank you for tuning in to episode 83, and we'll talk to you next week. See you.